Let us pray. Eternal God, who art far above our highest thought, yet very near to us in moments of devotion, thou who art in us in all that we really are, thou who art all around us in everything that really is, thou who art giving and forgiving, we praise thee for the heritage from the past, the opportunities of the present, and the hope of the future. In this community of learning, teach us, dear Lord, how to love each other and to labor intelligently in the ministry to which thou hast called us. Give us and give all of thy people, near and far, what we need each day, moment by moment, and enable us to be loyal to thee and to thy people, by who we are, by what we affirm, and by what we do. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It is appropriate, I think, to say that this school plans to comply with regulations to conserve energy during the fuel shortage, and that we hope that all of us will be careful in the use of electricity and fuel this winter. In the summer of 1969, we were aware of the peril of shortage of natural gas and oil, and we recommended that one of the boilers at the heating plant be retained for the use of coal on a standby basis. This recommendation was approved by the trustees at their annual meeting in 1970, and we do have enough coal to see us through a few weeks if we need it. We do not anticipate great hardship on any of us concerning the heating of essential facilities this winter, but Mr. Cross and Mr. Lee have been studying ways to reduce the amount of heat required, and it is to be hoped that all of us will cooperate with them in the effort to conserve fuel. This heating system at Southeastern Seminary is a mysterious system. This is understandable in the light of the fact that the distribution system was installed in the autumn of 1924. I was a freshman on this campus that autumn. We did not have lights on the campus. There were deep ditches, 8, 10, 12 feet deep, in many directions across this campus. And if there is any human being who knows where this distribution system is in its entirety, I'm not acquainted with him. Fortunately, we have two relatively new large boilers. Either of these is capable, the engineers told us in the summer of 1969, of producing enough heat to provide heat for the essential buildings on this campus. It's our responsibility, is it not, to use fuel carefully, including gasoline, during the weeks and months and indeed years ahead. In these moments, I want to present one idea for contemplation and affirmation. It is the conviction that as Christians, we participate in a ministry of challenge and a ministry of comfort. The challenge is stated, for example, in Micah 6:8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? And the comfort is expressed in the first paragraph of the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. When I was 16 years of age, I read three books by Josiah Royce. One is a very small book entitled A Philosophy of Loyalty. One is a larger, much more difficult book entitled The Spirit of Modern Philosophy. The other book written in the last quarter of the last century was entitled The Religious Aspect of Philosophy. And in that third book, he raised the question, What are the sources of religious insight? I spent many hours with that book. You know, of course, that a person 16 years of age does not master books like those. But the reading of that question, what are the sources of religious insight, led me to look much more carefully at what little I knew about our religious heritage. And it was in that year that I first saw, or thought that I saw, a connection between Micah 6:8 and Isaiah 40, verses 1. Here are two places that I have looked for religious and ethical insight across the years. And I think that the church has a double duty. One is the duty of ethical challenge. The other is the duty of comfort that has a religious basis. We cannot evade the challenge. We are to take seriously Micah's summary of the religious insights of the 8th century prophets. We are to remember what Amos said about righteousness, what Hosea said about steadfast love, what Isaiah said about faith and obedience. And the summary of these three insights are in Micah 6:8. And if you and I take these insights seriously, if the churches and other institutions in which we live and work take our task seriously, we are going to challenge injustice and cruelty and arrogance wherever they are detected. They may be detected in our professional life, and we have a challenge to discern them, to correct them, insofar as possible, to remove them. They may be detected in our institutional life, including this school. And wherever they are detected, we have a responsibility to challenge. This is the ethical aspect of the idea I bring for your contemplation in these moments. In a profound essay on freedom, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that obedience, and that's what we have in the last part of this verse, Micah 6:8, walk humbly with God. This involves, I think, teachability, and it involves obedience. In a profound essay on freedom, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that obedience and freedom are interrelated in responsible action. Obedience, he wrote, binds the creature to the Creator, and freedom enables the creature to stand before the Creator as one who is made in His image. Obedience shows man that he must allow himself to be told what is good and what God requires of him. And liberty enables him to act responsibly and creatively. In this remarkable summary of insights of 8th century prophecy, we have three criteria, three standards of behavior, which we cannot as Christians ignore. To do justly, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God. And we are to have both the insight and the courage to study these criteria, to measure our own behavior by them with self-examination in prayer, and to measure our institutions and our society by them. And when the church ceases to do this, it ceases to be the church in the full meaning of its mission. But this is only a part of the task, only one part of the idea. A part of responsible and creative action is to comfort persons in trouble, to speak tenderly to those severely tested, to strengthen and to encourage those who are in peril and pain. That's the ministry of comfort. And it is compatible with the ethical challenge. It's a part of the finest religious insight you and I have received. Last week, I spent more than an hour in a conversation with a former student of this school. A person about whom I had heard very critical things for over a year. But in that unhurried conversation, in which the student did most of the talking, I found a person who did not need, in my judgment, condemnation, but comfort. A person reared in a home where, on only a few occasions, apparently, did anybody speak tenderly. A person exposed to pressures almost unbearable. A person who had built up a certain hardness, something more than nonchalance, a hardness. In order to survive, it isn't enough to say, do justly, love kindness, walk humbly with thy God. It's required of us also to have some word of comfort to those most severely tested, to those exposed to the deepest distress. To have some word of comfort and to speak tenderly in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He knew how to challenge injustice and cruelty and arrogance. I do not know how to reconstruct the setting in which he walked through a group of people who were going to do him damage and nobody touched him. But I have a notion that they knew they were up against a man. They also knew that they were up against the power of moral integrity. But there were many other occasions when he comforted broken hearts. He saw a person who had been sick a long time, who had been neglected by almost everybody. He noticed and he cared. And he took affirmative action. Moffat translated this requirement in Micah 6:8 as follows: to be just and kind and live in quiet fellowship with your God. This, I think, is the noblest intention of the human mind. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that thou wilt forgive us and remove from us the burden of guilt, that thou wilt equip us with insight that we may be able to recognize injustice and cruelty and arrogance wherever they appear, that thou wilt give us the courage to stand against these things in human behavior, and that thou wilt enable us by thy Spirit to participate in a ministry of challenge and comfort with intelligence.
and devotion. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.